I don't think they're going to win a cup, but I sure feel pretty good about them getting past Pittsburgh, and I didn't think that a week ago. And here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What do you make of the Habs? 2-1 up on Pitt.
Just as I predicted.
Yeah, of course. Everybody.
Oh, predicted it, didn't
everybody he? Saw this coming.
I may have texted one of my buddies the other night. I'm like, I think this team really stinks. And then they won the game. I had to write back to the guy and say, I think they still stink, but they won the game.
Man, they've hung in, eh? Like, but there's not... I would have thought if they were 2-1, it would have been like all Price and, you know, a couple of 2-1 wins. Yet, that's not really how it's been. You know, like the first, I don't know, what was it, eight, nine minutes of game one, he was awesome. And he's been really good since, but it's not like Pittsburgh's tipped the ice over it, in my opinion. And, you know, the shots are 50-20. They're, the guys in front of Price have played with more determination, more firmness, more grit, whatever you want to call it, than I thought they were capable of. And Pitt's just been okay. I mean, like, last night I saw the stat there that the rush chances were 15-3 for Montreal. Like, how does that even happen?
Yeah.
Like, that's not how I would have thought this series would go.
No,
What do you think happens behind closed doors with Montreal? We were just talking about the idea of Montreal magically getting by Pitt, and then they get dummied. Like, are executives in a boardroom saying, "Why the hell did we do that? We just lost our chance at the big boy in Montreal"? Or do you even would NHL people even have those kind of convos?
Well, I don't know, man. Like, if you're are you talking from the league wide or from the team?
I'm just talking from the team, the Montreal Canadiens. Lafreniere's sitting there, and it's just like, you did the unbelievable. You took down Pitt, but then you get dummied and you lose your chance.
I think the guy that you wonder is the owner, right? Like the GM, I think, is going to say, "Hey, I put this team together. I want to win so I can prove I've been doing work."
But that owner is probably dying to make Lafreniere jerseys.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Why wouldn't you be? He's from Quebec. It's a gold mine.
It's a slam dunk.
Well, I mean, you go through this and you do your, you know, you want to win for sure, as we all know. But man, part of you would go if after two games of the next series, Noodles, the Islander, the Ranger series, like that we played in, if they're down 6-0, they probably would think this was a waste of time. And man, we could have probably used Lafreniere.
Yeah.
But you're trying to, they're trying to get through. It's such a goofy deal here anyway. I think of the things the league did they did so many things just great. They did an awesome job getting all of this stuff back together. The one thing they fumbled, and then once they fumbled, they kicked it down the field, was the draft. Because this is not the playoffs. No matter what they call it, we all know that the playoffs are 16 teams. And in the past, 15 teams that don't make the playoffs go into the lottery, and they have the graduated system. Why wouldn't they have waited and just done it after this first round? Do it Monday. Do the lottery this coming Monday when they're going to do the second phase. Just do the whole thing. You've got 15 teams in it.
All right.
And it takes away this, what we're even talking about here. Because no matter where Lafreniere goes, well, that's not true. If he goes to about 4 or 5 spots, people are going to lose their mind and think that this is all rigged. If he goes to Pitt, if Pitt loses, if he goes to Toronto, if Toronto loses, if he goes to Montreal, if Montreal loses, people will go crazy.
Edmonton?
I think the Rangers are a primary spot, too. The biggest market in the States. But they're up and coming.
I just think, 12.5% is a decent average, but you still have 87.5% that you're not getting that guy. Like, that's, if I said to you, you got a 12.5% chance of winning this game tonight, if you're the Raptors, that's not a very good, it's not a very good percentage. It's a good percentage based on 1-8, but it's still low.
You're still rolling the dice.
But Detroit only had 18.5%.
I agree. They got jammed up. So did Ottawa. Yeah, Ottawa had two picks.
Just think, Detroit had to suck for 7 months.
They were the worst team I've ever seen.
And, well, you never watched the Thrashers closely, honestly.
I played against them.
You didn't break a sweat either because you didn't have to.
That Detroit, I kept saying to people, Detroit's got good players, man. Don't say they're that bad. And I would watch them like, they're one of the worst teams I've ever seen, ever.
Well, it was a tank. It was even more of an obvious tank than Toronto's tank.
They tried to make it dignified, but they couldn't.
No, they were. But once it got so low, they just said, what's the point now? You know, like, we're done. They're not good enough. It didn't matter. Yeah. Even if you had the greatest effort, greatest coach in the world, they didn't have enough talent.
They should be in this lottery.
Yeah.
On Monday.
Yeah. No question.
Like they it's like they took the whole thing was so complicated to get off the ground. They had this thing that they didn't need to make any changes to. It really didn't need to change at all. And they made a complicated solution that they got, you know, the stinky glove with when Bill Daly had to flip over and say the first pick is a team to be determined.
I got to be honest, guys. I know I'm in the minority of this. I kind of love it. Like, when I saw Bill Daly turn that over, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is the worst-case scenario. But it is great for us, like us in the media. It's great, like, because I have no allegiance to any team. But could you imagine, like we've just been saying, if Toronto doesn't make it, Toronto, like this guy's playing with Austin Matthews, if Edmonton loses, this guy's playing with, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, like go down the list. Like, you're right. There are teams that did their best to in a rebuild, like Detroit, like Ottawa, that did it the right way. They're rebuilding in their system. They got messed out of this, but it's fantastic theater for me. I have to be honest, that because I don't have an allegiance to any team.
Can you imagine him sitting there watching this? I might end up with Sidney Crosby, or I might be in Toronto, or this is astounding, actually.
Yeah, it is so goofy. It's so typically 2020.
But do you think it's goofy, Hayes, or do you think what they've done here is created an environment where it's good for the league, good chatter, good pub, or do you think
I think it's a bit distracting. Like I said, like, we're distracted right now. We're wondering if a team up 2-1 should be happy that they're up 2-1, right?
Yeah.
And that's because of the circumstances. I don't think in their wildest dreams they really thought they were probably rolling the dice, which that's the irony. They're operating a lottery, yet they're gambling.
League?
Yeah, the league, because they were probably thinking, come on, Detroit. Come on, Ottawa.
Just win it.
Right.
Well, win the first pick, okay? If the third pick is up for grabs, that's kind of cool. That's kind of a little bit different. And, hey, what are you going to do? You lose, but you still get the third pick. The first pick is the worst-case scenario.
My wife doesn't know anything about hockey, and she watched it with me. She's like, that's the dumbest thing I've
ever seen. It was so goofy. I said at the time I thought it was...
She's like, well, where the hell is he going? I'm like, I don't know. And I had to explain it to her, or try to, and she just walked away and said, that's stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
Can you imagine when the cards, like, you know, when they did the thing in the back room, you know, because they got to prepare all the cards, and Daly's got to walk down that hallway carrying the cards.
And
the whole way down going, this is such a disaster.
This is going to be awful.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to get carved by every loudmouth idiot in the whole continent. And that's precisely what's happened for the better part of, you know, a month and a half. But, hey, listen, this is the system they chose. This is what they're going with.
Yeah.
Watch, it'll be Nashville that wins anyway.
Well, or Winnipeg, you know, if Winnipeg loses. Yeah. Like there are some, you know, some really nice potential soft landing spots for
him. Do you think
him.
Ottawa would trade the third and the fifth pick for number one?
I would.
But whoever's got it, would they do that?
Well, it depends on what team you have. I mean, I would argue if I'm the Leafs, I'd think about it if I want it.
You're talking about trading Lafreniere for Byfield and who's the kid?
And Jamie Drysdale.
And Drysdale. Drysdale and Byfield for Lafreniere.
If you're a team up against the cap, I'll take two cheap kids over one.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
just
a loser. As Pat Quinn would say, that's a loser's race.
Well, yeah, it could be. In retrospect, I might hate myself for making that decision. But what if I hit on both? What if I hit on both? Even if Lafreniere turns into a great player, what if I have two great players? Then who won? That's a winner's race, Pat.
It's a loser's race.
Put it this way, I would have a tough time leaving the two guys on the board. You know, like I would want the two players, I think.
Yeah, me too. Be,
you know, now, if you're Montreal, you could offer me a hell of a lot more than that, and I'm not giving it to you.
Right.
Maybe Ottawa, if they had got it too, because you're talking about a player that would appeal widely in their markets.
In like, Ottawa and Montreal, you mean?
In Ottawa and Montreal, yes. Yep.
Right.
And maybe it doesn't, maybe somebody else in a different market might be swayed. Because I think Byfield's going to be really a great player. Mm-hmm. And if Drysdale looks at all like he looked at the World Juniors as an underage player, holy smoke, seriously.
Yeah, not bad. A number one center and a number one D in one draft.
You know, you can go a long way with that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad at all.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It all comes back, though, guys, to the depth of your team. Like, say one of these big boys, big teams loses out just in this first round, and you're loaded at that position. Maybe you do look at two players, like Brian's saying, just because you've already got. Lafreniere is a left winger, correct?
He's a winger, yes.
I think he can play both, but he can play left wing.
He's not a centerman.
Craig talks about him being a number one left winger. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I'm just off the top of my head what team has a stud left winger that's young and is in this potential situation. Then you could go and maybe get two guys that could be changing within, go and get that centerman, go and get that defenseman. That would be, I guess, your mindset.
I think this would be the year of any year to trade a first-round pick, because if it is one of these, it's going to be one of these teams that are in, a lot of fans are just going to be confused. Like, how did you end up with the first pick overall? I saw you playing the other night. You could trade it before it even registers that kid's coming to town.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be the same buildup. The draft is going to be in October. It's going to have a very different feel to it.
I think that's unfair for you to say the fans are going to be confused. We are going to be confused.
We're all going to be confused.
What's the draft all about? How is it going?
It's going to be in October. It's going to be like over the course of a couple of weeks, free agency, draft, trades.
So it's obviously a virtual draft.
It'll be like the NFL's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll figure that out, and it'll be fun. But we're miles away from that. We got a bunch of games still to go, including the Leafs in Columbus tonight. And obviously the big difference would be Jake Muzzin not playing, and his absence will be felt at some point. You just know it. At some point tonight, you're going to say, if Muzzin was out there, I'd probably have a bit of a different feel. Do you think that's more likely 5-on-5 or on the penalty kill?
I think 5-on-5, really, because I think Columbus is really going to try to play especially heavy. And that's a skill set and a body type that Muzzin has that they just don't have very much of. Like, I think they'll miss him on those against a Dubois or a Foligno, like heavy, heavy guys. They'll miss him tonight. I think Marincin's a pretty good penalty killer, actually.
Yeah, he's not bad.
I think he does a decent job. They're going to miss him all over, but 5-on-5, they're going to miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like Columbus's power play is is Edmonton's. You know, Columbus struggles on the power play. I think they struggle on the setup. They don't look very crisp, especially in the first two games. Anyways, they just didn't move it around. They look too robotic, if that makes sense.
They don't have any creativity, Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so at least last year they could zing it around and somehow get it to Panarin, and he'd make something of it. They don't have anybody like that. And so it's plodding and predictable. And hell, they're the only team I've seen with three defensemen on the power play, because they're their best offensive players.
Yeah. That's a weird one, man. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Oh, we're sitting on the bench and they've got 3D out in front of us on the power
play.
I'd skate
right to the locker room.
It is an indictment.
What a shot that is. Eh?
Yeah, that might be a message up above saying, get me some kind of a skilled forward, because I can't keep rolling out another. If I was bypassed by a D to go on the half wall, I would just take my gear off on the bench and just say, no thanks.
Feel shame.
Yeah, I must suck.
Yeah.
Ray, with all this going on, Dregs usually does a segment called Hot Seat. Do you think anybody would ever be in a hot seat after this, or is it all hunky-dory and everyone's just like, oh, it's COVID and don't sweat it, or how do you think it all goes down? Is there going to be a hot seat segment, or everything's just going to play out and fire up next year?
You know what? I think it's going to just. Yeah, I think it would be really hard to evaluate somebody on five games once they came back. Like, I think it's just what Brian said about how weird it all is. Like, I can't imagine that changes are made because, you know, 7 days after 4 months didn't go so well.
Yeah, it'd be tough to put, like, anybody in Winnipeg on the hot seat based on what's gone on. You know, like, Maurice is just doing what he can there. But, you know,
any changes that were going to happen were going to happen 4 months ago,
agreed.
I think, right?
They had plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly, to evaluate,
you know,
who they
were
going
to do it, right? I'm looking at the teams that are in this thing, and, you know, if Nashville goes out, they just hired a new coach in John Hines. You know, the Rangers have David Quinn. They're not going to change there. Columbus isn't changing Torts. Pittsburgh's not changing Mike Sullivan if they were to lose. You know, I just can't see it. I think it slides into the whatever next season is.
Right. Well, and Edmonton, nothing crazy is going to happen there either, clearly. Like, Dave Tippett did a great job this year. Ken Holland just got on the job. He's there for a long time. But
maybe find a new goalie.
That's the debate
is,
you know, how do you react to it? I don't know how to put it into perspective. Like, you've been off for 4 months, and now you come back, and it's not over. Maybe they come back and win that series. They absolutely could. But if you lose, the fans aren't going to be happy. People are going to be freaking out in the marketplace. But I don't know how you assess that.
Here's an example. So Matt Murray has been average at best. The goal he gave up yesterday, I don't
know. Terrible.
Brutal goal. Just can't go in. I think in a normal season, you see Tristan Jarry in game four. But
right.
He hasn't played since March. Like, how do you, I don't know, Noodles, could you, a couple of scrimmages, like, could you go in there and do a good job?
Yeah, did Jarry play half a game at the exhibition game?
I don't remember.
I thought I saw, I think they did. I think he did.
Did they split?
Not that it matters. Honestly, it's 30 minutes 2 weeks ago. And you haven't played since March, so it's starting over anyways. I think you have to ride it. I thought Matt Murray was very good in game two. Game one, he made some good saves, but honestly, I didn't like his game yesterday. I really, and that fourth goal, we were talking about it last hour, Ray, before you came on, like, regardless of the structure, and I'm a goalie hugger, and I could tell you exactly why he did that. But it can't go in. Like, that can't go in. Like, that kid, that's a momentum killer. The guys on the bench are going, how the hell did that go in? Like, to me, he needs to make that save. It's unfortunate because go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Jamie. I thought you were done. I thought 100 out of 100 times you would give up that shot.
Yep.
Like, if you're like, you got to give up a shot from somewhere in the zone, he could shoot it from there till next Tuesday. He's not going to score.
Right.
And then it goes in and... Man, and now all of a sudden your back's against the wall. I just saw a little thing from Malkin. He said, I'm not happy with my game. Me, Sid, and Tanger, Letang, have to lead. The other guys have to follow tomorrow.
Yeah. That makes
Speaking
sense.
That goal,
that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That goal.
But I like
happy.
That he's like, I got to be better. You know, like, and I have to be.
Yeah. Agreed.
That goal, we're talking about it being a crowd. It was still a cool little shot. I don't care what anybody like. That's.
It was a great shot by Petrie.
It was a
not
cool
taking,
little goal, yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from him.
Know.
I'm not taking anything away from him. He shot at the ear. There's a little hole beside the ear, and he placed it there.
Yeah.
The point being is Matt Murray needs to make that save. That's what I'm. That's my point.
Yeah.
He could stand up. It's pretty easy.
Kirky
McLean just hugged the post and legs together.
I like it. That thing gets stopped. That hits you right in the chest if you go Kirk McLean.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe you're up 2-1 in the series right now.
Yeah, but if it goes
or
cross
he slides it on the ice and beats your course off.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Or hits a guy back door that you can't get to. And you know.
That doesn't matter. Those are details that don't count.
Matter.
No.
Anyway, enjoy the games tonight, buddy. We'll break them down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Be well, boys.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. So, there's some craziness going on. I guess we should have anticipated that. Like, it's chaotic. It's got a March Madness vibe to it. It's after 4 months off in a bubble with no fans. Why would you expect normalcy? Why would you expect anything to be predictable? And Edmonton's down 2-1. Pittsburgh's down 2-1. Winnipeg, although that was a coin flip anyway, but I didn't see it playing out the way it has played out based on injuries. And
right.
It's almost like that series was just deflated right off the hop with the Scheifele injury. It just never felt like it was on even ground. And Line A's out, and they're in action, and they're in survival mode tonight.